thank you for rejoining us on the morning show. It's now time to talk about trending issues. And like I mentioned before, we are heading straight into some insecurity matters. Now, we have Padre right here in the building. Padre, good morning and thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good morning, and I say happy new month to all our listeners out there.
Very true. Happy new month to you as well, Padre. Now, Padre, the governor of Ondo State yesterday, according to reports, this one coming from the Vanguard newspaper, said that the establishment of Amutekun started the zero tolerance to crimes in the southwest. Of course, he has been praised time and time again for the initiative and for all the steps that he has taken. And in your opinion, do you think that definitely Amutekun has had an impact on the rate of crime, especially here in the southwest? And where do we go from here to help them do better?
Yes, we have to be honest with ourselves, even though that we know that sometimes politicians will always be politicians, mm-hmm. and all of those stuff. Mm. They want to score their own cards themselves and do some kind of propaganda or what have you. Mm-hmm. But when we also see the truth also has to be said. Yeah. Well, the images of Amutekun in Ondo State in particular, we know mm-hmm. that it's a Southwest project.
Yes.
But in Ondo State in particular, has tremendously helped in the insecurity matters that we have been having in our state. If you remember, before now, about 2-3 years back, mm-hmm. it was almost like having a back-to-back incident. Mm-hmm. In this same state mm-hmm. is where we had a whole king killed mm-hmm. in this state. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things happening.
Mm, happened.
Many times, I have also had an experience of where at a particular place, I have seen people come to complain to the mm-hmm. police, talk about especially farmers, those whose farm produce have been destroyed by these herders and what have you. And I think where the turning point came in, even though it shouldn't have been. But then it is what it is. There is nothing else we can do about it anymore.
Yes.
Was when the daughter of Parfashion Royalty was killed in that attack that happened around along Lagos Expressway, and I think that was where the turning point started from. Mm. Even though it took the death of, in quote, a first class citizen of the state, mm. before we finally got to that stage. Mm. Even though a lot of things have been happening before them, but yes. we have to give credit to the governor. Mm. He has, at least to a great extent, mm. he has delivered on mm. that mm. when it comes to insecurity in the state. Mm. And then we have to also give kudos to the men and women of Amutekun, mm-hmm. Led by their commander himself, mm-hmm. because those people, they are doing a lot. Mm-hmm. Yes, we can say that. Apart from the situation that happened in Owo,
yes.
which more or less we could say that one was more or less a national crisis, mm. but then you have to give it to these people, even mm. though we are not there yet.
Yes.
And there are still a lot of things to be done, mm. even down to the personnel mm. that are being employed to yes. work. Mm-hmm. I have had a location where an Amutekun core member, or what do I call them, mm. security man, almost harassed me. Mm. If not that, probably for someone like me that I know my rights mm. and I know what are within my rights. Mm. I was just wondering if it were to be a situation where you have somebody who is not probably as educated as I am, mm. what would have happened mm. to the person? Mm. And some other people in the state can give testimony. In fact, it was an harassment mm. that almost led to my own harassment. Mm. Because an Amutekun security man was harassing another citizen, and some of us were on the watch, and mm. some persons brought out their phone, and before you know it, it almost descended on the other citizens mm. too as well. Mm. Just a few days ago, we also read it in some of the reports that a man was suing Amutekun to court, mm. asking for damages because he was shot. Mm. He felt he was shot in an unlawful manner, mm. and had his old two legs amputated mm. as a result of that gunshot wound mm. on his leg. These are the issues. Although the case is still in court, it's not to be talked about, but then I'm just bringing out some of these things that we have, and Otekun does not mean that all our problems are solved, because we know the various kind of challenges we have had with the police. You remember the NSA started from brutalization from the police, how a lot of men in uniform are not following the rules of engagement, especially when they carry out their duties. It doesn't mean that Amotekun too is prone to that. But then we have to give kudos to where kudos ought to go to.
Okay.
And that is why we have been saying that when we talk about restructuring our security apparatuses, it doesn't mean that all these problems are going to go once in a day or suddenly. But then we'll be having some improvement. And I'm sure that Amotekun as an outfit, they continue to improve every day, every time. We have seen that in the past 2 or 3 years, they've had like 2 or 3 recruitment.
Okay.
And I'm sure that with some of these complaints and everything, with some of these lapses that we are also noticing, I'm sure that they are working on it. But based on my own experience, even sometimes from first-hand experience, we have to say that these men are committed. Those who are coordinated them are committed. And we hope that where we have begun from, the government of Ondo State will continue to build on that success.
All right. Esigun, Padre raised an interesting point. The governor yesterday was actually talking about the achievements and what they are doing currently, you know, to boost the working capacity of Amotekun, saying that hundreds of motorcycles had been procured and distributed, talking about security vehicles. Padre actually mentioned an aspect that is very important, which is the psyche of the personnel themselves. Do you think that the government should be doing more so as to avert some of the occurrences that happened with that started NSAS?
Well, definitely they should.
It is important. You see, apart from the issue of restructuring, you see, one of the issues we have with our current security architecture is the recruitment process.
Okay.
Is the type of people that are put there. Now, for some of us that have been involved in how rigorous a process some people undergo to become a police force, become part of the police in other climes, we have a lot of work to do on this part, because we are not really doing enough. And but still, if someone is going to be bad, that person will just be bad. It will take also some effort to ensure that the system is not allowed to let rottenness thrive. Just like our body, the physiology of it, that's why we have the red blood cells and the white blood cells. So when we have intrusion, we have systems in place to repel that intrusion. You know, so the same way, if, for instance, we didn't have systems in place, which is what HIV does, the human immunodeficiency virus, that it breaks down that defense system to allow for any other thing, what we call opportunistic infection, you know, to rack the body. So that means someone that is not, that doesn't have a strong immunity, for instance, can crash the common cold. So we have our body even as an example, something that we can learn from that. If things are done properly, if your immune system, for instance, is high, you are most likely not going to succumb to any issue. You know, issues like a common cough or malaria and others of them may not, you know, really drag you down like that. But when you are stressed and all that, then the effect, the compounding effect is more. So the same way, if we see security in that light, and look at us, we wouldn't want to bring in the worst set of people. I mean, if we have a weak white blood cell battalion, you will know what that is going to happen. That means we're going to have an Iruwa Griwa situation. For Yoruba people, they will understand that. Other people, let the Holy Spirit just expand that to you. But just know that there's an Iruwa Griwa thing. Yeah, and it is for real. You know, so we have an Iruwa Griwa situation. And when that happens, that means anything can break you down. Anything can break you down. It's just like Yoruba saying that if a big war brings you down, then the small chinch too will be falling on it. So that I will balance it. Because if I have spoken to Yoruba now, I have to be explained. So I've just spoken that one in English. So it's the same way. For this, it is good it is a step in the right direction. We are making progress. The rate of crime has reduced. Yes. But then, of course, we can do better. We shouldn't rest on our oars. This is not the time to start patting ourselves on the back. You understand? You know, because we can pat ourselves on the back, just do two taps, then move on to the next level. Mm-hmm. Because the next level is that, apparently, with all these occurrences, even though we're having these conversations that we don't want to have, but actions are pushing us towards these conversations because it really must be that it has come to stay. Then the governor will soon be out. His tenure is winding down. Thank God that it has been legislated. So after he leaves, are we going to have the normal situation where someone goes and then what this person does is desecrated? Yesterday we had to come up with all things that passed away and all things are new. in the situation of the state of of hygiene in the state, you understand? Someone gave us awards, but here we're having counter award in that regard. We are becoming dirtier than places that we beat before. You know, that's on that part. So if another person is going to come, which is supposed to be the collective decision of all of us here, and which is why I keep talking about the concept of education. Because, for instance, if we go ahead to enlighten ourselves and become visionary, even if our leaders refuse to be visionary, we will leave them behind. You get? And when we leave them behind, that means we will make visionary choices. What that means is that our security system will be visionary, because we ourselves will be visionary people. We will be employable. You understand? But that is what it's going to be. So a system cannot do more than what is there. My body, for instance, can work with what is there. If anything is coming from outside my body to come and help my body, and my body rejects it, then that is it. We've had people that do organ transplant, for instance, and the body rejects it and say, no, I'm not taking this, and which causes crisis. So if I'm taking us to biology, so maybe some people that have not studied biology in a while or that have been failing biology think that it is a hard course or something, you will see now that even biology can help us in day-to-day interactions, even in security. So when I keep shouting for the need to be self-enlightened, to move yourself to visionary status so that you can make visionary decisions, this is part of what I'm talking about.
All right. Thank you very much. Still listening to Trending Issues on The Morning Show. And Padre, let's still come back to you. Still on insecurity, very tragic events that happened over the weekend with the killing of about six in Kogi. In the Kogi community right there in Kogi State. And now talking about this particular sort of thing, this is happening, again, it's not the first time it's happening in Kogi. What is your take as to, some of the measures that can be put in place right now? Since, like we have said before, people don't want to hear that word talk more of, you know. But right now, how then can the government safeguard the lives of their people? These men were about, according to reports, 30 in number, came in buses and started shooting sporadically, you know, unchallenged, unstopped.
You see, for me, when situations like this come, what I always look up to is to see the response that the government is going to give. And then there is one particular response we always get from the government. Even as we speak, we still have that kind of response against this security advisory that these foreign nations are giving to their citizens who are within our country. And it's always like, don't calm down. Everybody calm down. We are in charge. We are on top of the matter. There is no need for panic. And people are dying. You say there is no need for panic. But then it has become a routine, just a normal statement that you just put out there for press release so that people can know that, okay, the government is saying something about it. But in terms of action, it's more or less like nothing happens.
Yes.
For me, I still don't understand what is the mentality of some of our governors in this country. Because we, for instance, we just finished speaking about Ondo State.
Yes.
Talking about the effect that Amotekun has had so far on the insecurity issues that we have in the state. Yes, crime has not completely gone. Even in the best of countries where you have the best of technologies and the best of recruitment of police officers and what have you, security agents,
crime still go on in those countries. So we are not saying it's going to erode crime completely.
Yes.
But then it's going to reduce it. Reduction is something that is great. And we are, for instance, in Ondo State, we are feeling it. So I still don't get it. When we have governors who are facing some of these challenges as we speak, and yet you look at your counterparts, your colleagues in other states, you see how things are getting better for them. And yet you can, you still don't feel the need to go ahead to say, can I borrow some of your strategy? Can I look into some of the strategies you are using? I may not be able to use it the way you are using it, but can I adopt it and redesign it to fit in it in my own, it's my own peculiar challenge? And yet we don't see that happening. Look at the north, look at the east, look at the central north. We are having almost this, they are having almost the same problem everywhere. And this is one thing that really hurts me as a citizen. Because I used to say that, why is it that at this stage of our lives, we do not have, we still don't have lots of visionary leaders? That is, even if we have any at all. Let's assume that we have few. Why is it that we don't have lots of visionary leaders? Because these people, you leave the shores of your country, you go to places for holidays, you go everywhere. You don't say anything to copy over there. To say, because sometimes, even as citizens, maybe because you are in charge of one particular office or the other, you go to a place, you see new ideas, you are thinking it in your head, oh, this thing is brilliant, this thing is cool, how can I adopt it, how can I make it work in my own area? It's like all of our leaders, they don't have that kind of a thinking. Just yesterday, now the president had gone out of the country again for a medical trip. He has been going since 2015, and I'm sure he has been seeing things over there where he goes for checkup. He has been seeing the facilities, how people, the personnel, and yet you come back to this same country and you are having over thousands of doctors leaving your own country, going to other places to work. And so the question I ask is, when you go there, what do you go there to do? Why is it that you cannot bring all these good things, these goodies? We are not saying bring everything, at least bring some that we can point to say, okay, all these trips you have been having, I think we are beginning to see the results. We are, we can see why you are having all these trips. But the only thing we know how to copy is when we criticize our government, and our government will tell us that maybe there is crisis to in other places. We wallow in our mediocrity. We compare ourselves in failure with other people. We don't compare ourselves in success, in achievement with other nations. And it's so sad. If you look at it, go and look at almost all the reports of insecurity matters where people have died. See the statement, the response of the government. It's always, everybody should calm down. We are going to work about, what are you going to do about it? Or so far, what have you done about it?
And how are you going to go about it?
It's only words of mouth. You are not doing anything new. Even if you are saying you have done, you are going to do something about it, or you have done something about it, whatever you are doing about it is not new from what you have been doing about it before.
Okay.
And that means that whatever you were doing before was not working.
Okay.
That is why these criminals on daily basis, they are becoming more brazen.
Okay.
They can do anything at any point in time, at any time of the day. Okay. They can do whatever they like because they know that there is nothing there to repel them. There is nothing that the government is going to do to make any of their plans to be unsuccessful.
All right.
And that is just the sad thing we are having. All and right. That is why every day we keep on saying it. Okay. We do not have visionary leaders. Because these people, they all just spent our money, they spent our resources for nothing of our own good.
All right. Okay.
If there is anything good that comes out of it, it's always about their personal good, and that is all.
Okay. Now, Padre raised, again, another point, talking about the response of the government to these, you know, insecurity events, these insecurity happenings and these crimes. And Father actually said that it's not like the government is not responding or doing something, but it seems like the crimes are kind of evolving or have evolved past what the government is putting on ground and what the government is doing. Just tragically, almost in the same manner, two were killed in an attack right there in Plateau State. Esigon, what is your take as to this and as to also evolving some of the things that we have put down to repel these attacks?
Well, like I've said, since I have the platform to say it, I need to say that, you see, the issues have not changed. The issues are still the same. The issues are still there. Now, to solve the issues is not really a big deal. It's not rocket science. But we currently don't have, you know, the set of people. One, we don't have the system. Two, and we don't have the will, you know, to do what needs to be done. And that is why for us, some of these things will actually take time. But if we make a step in the right direction, starting by getting more enlightened so that we can make better decisions, then we will realize that, oh, we need visionary leadership, or we need people that have problem-solving skills. We need people that are competent, that are not just politicians, because we've been saddled over and over with politicians. And Nigerian set of politicians are a special breed, a unique breed, you know, because their own system has some measure that, you know, that word nearly dropped out of my mouth, but I just calmed down, you know. So, but we need to supersede that in intelligence so that we can pick people that will change the course. Because if, for instance, a car is traveling on the wrong course, no matter how fast it is traveling, as long as it is on the wrong course, then it is not going to get to the destination that it's supposed to get to. Example in mind is, assuming maybe you are going to Abuja from Akure here, and you decide to face Ghana. You know, now you are drifting apart from Abuja. But if you get to Lome, and you decide that, you realize that, wait, this is the wrong, you see, the moment you come to that realization, we are making progress. The moment you come to that realization alone, we are making progress. Then when you now put action to it by turning the car around, then you have set your path, I mean, your feet on the right course. Now, the distance to where you are going may be far, but at least you are now on the right path. No matter how slow it is, no matter how fast it is, no matter the challenges you face, but the thing is, you are on the right path. So you're on track. Then you keep on going. And that is what we need to do. Because whatever issue we're going to bring is still going to bother to the same thing. And what is it? Leadership. And a system that is not working. What is that system? The constitution we have. It's not working. The constitution is what is not allowing us to think about restructuring, which we should think about. You understand? That is it. That's the system. And then we still don't have a population that is properly enlightened, properly educated yet, to be able to really grasp this. All you need to do is just go online. Go online and see some arguments, and your heart will cut. You know, and see, PhD level foolishness. Yeah, as in some people, so that people don't think that it is schooling. When I say education and enlightenment, I'm not talking about schooling. Some people are schooled, they are certified, they have certificates, but they are still fools. So we need to understand what I'm saying here. Because like I said, education will help you understand that, one, we are all humans. Education will make you see beyond tribe. Education will make you see beyond religion. Education will make you see beyond skin color, or race, or tongue, or any of that, or class.
Or gender.
Education will help you see beyond that. So if you are truly educated, then you will understand how we are to relate, and how we are to interrelate, and how we are to complement and not to compete. Because for me, anyone that still reasons in terms of competition is not educated. Because it's about complementation. So these issues are issues that are germane, but that require superior intelligence to deal with. We can mourn, and we will continue to mourn in spite of the bubble that the current leadership is living in. That they have alleviated, they have done this, they have done that. Now people can go to sleep anyhow, you know. And you see, in spite of that bubble, because that's their bubble, we will continue to mourn people. These incidents will continue to happen. You understand? Not because we want it to happen, but because we have a system that just allows it to happen. So if we decide, I mean, there are nations that have very low crime rate. Very low crime rate. There are nations in this world. But like, you know, Padre pointed out, and like it's obvious, it's our own. We don't pick success stories to compare ourselves to. When we criticize, they are good to pick out, you know, the faults in. So I say we are not the only one. UK too is doing it. After all, the Metropolitan Police is dealing with corrupt police officers. So what is it? USA, they are shooting the same in the school. So what is it? That, see, anybody that reasons like that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, Padre, over to you. This advisory that the US and the UK gave Nigerians, despite the federal government's reassurances, right, there seems like it's still not going down right now. Now, the federal government, that's the Federal Capital Territory Administration, has actually reassured residents of Abuja of safety, you know, but then in the same breath, encouraging them to install closed circuit televisions, that's CCTVs. Don't you think that they are kind of affirming that particular advisory, although, you know, still trying to calm people down?
Let me start from here. You know, I was reading whether in isolation, whether a statement is picked in isolation or not, because we know that news reports cannot give you all the statements people make. And reading the statement of part of the statement of Mokuno yesterday, the National Security Advisor, and I was reading while I was reading it, I was trying to envision the kind of a tone in which that statement was coming out. And I feel that there is an undertone of anger in it. With that kind of statement, that it was unnecessary for United States and United Kingdom to be doing this and that, blah, blah, blah. Everybody is entitled to their opinion, no doubt. But for me, what I would say is that when you are an irresponsible person, it doesn't mean that every other person is irresponsible. Your irresponsibility is a responsibility to take. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
Your irresponsibility is your own responsibility to deal with. That somebody is trying to be responsible for whatever has been put in his charge, even though you feel that it's happening within your domain, does not mean that you have to do some kind of transfer of aggression, if I have to put it that way, or you have to feel that because this is the way I am doing my thing and this is the way things are, so this is the way you have seen the world. You have only been seeing the world in a myopic view. And somebody who is more enlightened, who has this wider horizon of knowledge, and who sees things far ahead of time and wants to be ahead of such things, is doing things in his own way, does not mean that you have to bring your own into it. And I feel that that is what the NSA was trying to do yesterday. Because we have a government that is not responsible for its citizens. Let's say it's point blank. We know how much our citizens suffered in Ghana. What did we do about it? We know how much our citizens suffered in South Africa. In fact, xenophobic. What did we do about it? We know how much many of our citizens have been harassed in other countries. There are times that people will be deported. There are times that we'll have to go and get people back to the country. We know how much of inhuman treatment some of our citizens have gone through in other places. What have we done about it? So that you are just a dog who barks but does not bite, does not mean that every dog on the street cannot bite. In fact, there are some dogs, they don't even bark. They don't bark.
They just bite.
In fact, I'll give you one true experience. There was a man who had a dog in his house, and it got to a time that dog does not do anything. It doesn't bark. It doesn't do anything. The man was so tired that he carried his dog back to the vet and said, "I don't want this dog. Take this dog away. This dog is a very useless dog." The dog was already had already become an adult dog, and the vet, because the vet chose the dog for the man, you know, they knew the trait, and the vet said, "So this dog is still okay." They tried to encourage him, and just take this dog. This dog is okay. Okay, he just carried the dog, put the dog in the house. And on this fateful day, he was at the office when one of his neighbors called him. I said, "Oga, come, or something is happening in your house." And by the time this man got home, this dog caught two thieves. And all what the dog had to do is that when the thieves jumped over the fence and they wanted to come down, all the what the dog had to do was that the dog just lay down beside the fence and was looking at them. And that was how that dog was able to provide security for his owner. So some people don't need to shout the way we shout, and they know what they are doing. And they deliver. So the government has to understand this.
Okay.
The United States government is a responsible government. A citizen of a United States, they can move a whole army. They can move a whole security apparatus that they have in their country to save one citizen. This is the kind of mentality these people have.
Every life is precious.
Every life is precious.
Yes.
See, let me tell you how it became a practice that if for other countries, and it started with the United States, and that was after the Second World War that started in 1941. There are a lot of soldiers who were buried abroad. It's before, when soldiers die, you just die, they bury you. But for United States, it got to a point after the World War, even though they were unable to do everything because they've lost a lot of soldiers. But then it became a practice for them right from that time, that if a soldier dies in a foreign country, his body must come home. It is part of them, except they can't pick the pieces of your body again, depending on the kind of death you have. Your body must, no matter where that soldier dies, they must, even if they have to send a team to retrieve a dead body, they will do it.
All right.
These are the kind of countries we are talking about. They just don't care about their citizens. They even care about their dead citizens. This is how responsible they are to their own citizens. And most other countries have copied that policy from the United States. When a soldier dies in the battleground outside his home country or our own country, that soldier must be brought back home. Except you can't find the body. So our Nigerian government should understand this. These are the kind of people you are dealing with. So you cannot come with your own hoi polloi idea and bring it in the presence of people who see the world way better than you, that you ever think that the world is.
Okay. All right.
And coming to the issue of CCTV, it's a normal standard now anywhere in the world. In fact, in some homes, in some other places, ordinary doorbell is a CCTV.
Yes.
Does the work of surveillance. But then, when you come forward to say all of these things, the best they can do is to encourage citizens. But one thing the government should also understand is that how many citizens can afford this thing? Or what is the essence of having a CCTV? You call it surveillance. That means you are always on the watch. If you look at the meaning of surveillance, you are always on the watch. What is the essence of having a CCTV that cannot be powered? Or how many citizens of this country can afford solar power to say they want to do this, they want to do that? Yes, we know that it is our collective responsibility to be able to secure ourselves. Collective responsibility. It's not left for the government alone. But when it comes to some of these issues, it's not by shouting or by raking or by venting that is going to solve them. No. Whatever the NSA has said, do you think it bothers the United States? Those that they wanted to evacuate from the country, they have already evacuated them. See, forget it. I'm sure that probably in the next 2 months they will come, because probably some of these attacks might have not happened. And they will come and say, "Did we not tell you people that these people were just talking for nothing?" See, you don't know. It is when some things don't happen, that's when you don't know. When it happens, that's when you realize that, "Oh, I should have done this." And that is what they have tried to do. That instead of us saying, "Oh, in hindsight, we should have done this, we should have done this." Okay. It is better we do it now, and at the end, nothing happens. Everybody wins.
Okay.
If nothing happens, it's a win-win situation. But if something happens, it becomes a win-lose situation. Those who have who have given their own citizens that advisory and they have taken action towards that, they are on the winning side. It is we that we are saying it's nothing, and we take everything to be personal.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's come to S. Egon on this next issue, which is the fact that the Niger Federal Commissioner of of the National Population Commission has actually said that the insecurity that has bedeviled, you know, some parts of the country will not affect the 2023 population and housing census. He also added that the commission and security agencies are working on modalities to ensure how best that this census would be carried out across the state. This particular one report we're getting from the Punch. Do you agree with him on this, that insecurity would not affect the census as it's reducing?
I am not going to argue with him.
Okay.
My argument is, why are we having a census now or next year? That's my question. As in, you are leaving. Well, let's even put it well, you have left. We've had several statements to the tune that you can't wait to leave.
You have submitted budget. Because normally for census, sorry for cutting you, normally for census, you is meant to gather data in order to know how you can improve in so many places. It could be in health, it could be in education.
So you know what to budget for.
You start, when you want to start addressing those issues in the fiscal way, you start to say, okay, how can I put it?
But apparently,
you've even done all of that.
They must have budgeted for it.
No, I'm not talking about the census.
I know.
What may come out of the census?
Out of the census, yes. I get. That's what we are saying, that it is not for you to do. Except if you know something that we don't know.
It's because you have left it for the next administration.
You are just having projections.
Yeah, you understand. Except if they know something we don't know. Except if there's something there. Maybe there's, you know, they are so certain on some things. So because of that, they feel confident that, I mean, we can do this. But for some of us, you know, who will want to lean on other systems of looking at these things, you say, why would you do this? I mean, like, I'm a class captain. I'll be handing over to another class captain because I'm being promoted to SS3. I'll no longer remain the class captain of SS2. You get my point? Then I now, as part of my parting shot, now said that they should ensure that the SS2 that will be taken over, me, I'm going to SS3, that compulsorily all of them must wear tie as my parting shot, so that they will know that yes, during my time I did tie for them. And so what are you leaving for the new captain to do when normally everybody is going to get tie? So as if it's a novel idea. Why must you be the one that will procure the tie? Why don't you let the person that is coming, most of you are going to SS3,
when you get there,
then procure tie for your classmate, but allow the person that is coming in
to decide after
if he wants to procure ties or not. Because whether it's you that procured it or the tie will be procured, it is in the budget. But why must it be you that will spend the money? So for me, yeah, of course, what do you expect the person that is talking to talk? He must talk. It's just like the election. If he says that insecurity is going to affect the census, he's in other words saying that insecurity will affect the election.
Yeah.
Because all of them is next year. And they will not say that. You won't catch them saying that. After all they've done. And they've done a lot. They've done so much that they are confident to quickly jet and go and do medical checkup. And things are, you know, are rolling. You know, so those are the questions. So for me, in wrapping up this conversation, because that is what is important here.
Okay.
You see, we can get emotional. We can be riled up. These things can be initiating. Like they can be disgusting. They can get us worked up and all that. But are we just going to stay initiated? Are we just going to stay disgusted or irritated? That's the question. Do we think that we are hopeless, that there's nothing we can do about it? No, we are not. And that's what I keep saying. We can actually get ourselves out of this quagmire. and we can start by elevating our knowledge base. This thing, a lot of people, it will sound as if, what is it? This guy, are you a professor or what? Or do you want to start a school or something? But there is no way we can bypass this method if we think we want to make any kind of progress.
Sorry, let me just cut into what you're saying, because this next topic is also very, very, it's kind of related, even though it's not insecurity, but some people are of the feeling, or of the, I don't know how to put it, that the federal government, that is, that Buhari, the president, has liberated more Nigerians from poverty despite challenges. Would you call this, a version of what Skywalker would say as someone else's dream?
And I did say, for instance, concerning insecurity, they are in their bubble. Concerning education, they are in their bubble. Concerning health, I mean, it is obvious. This one is clear. They are in their own bubble. You get my point? You see, whatever is your whatever, it doesn't concern them. It doesn't affect them. I don't know how else we are going to say this for people to understand. So, economy, they are in their bubble. The person that is speaking is speaking from an angle of effort being made. But effort does not translate to impact. That's what we keep saying. Just like we've established that. See, you can make effort. You can strain from now till. I remember a time when we got locked out of a particular car. Fortunately, we got locked out in a compound that is ours, so that people will not say that we are trying to boggle a car. You understand? Oh, we did effort. In fact, I nearly passed out that day. With different effort, energy, and all the rest of them. You see, will I not say that I did effort? Because I actually literally nearly passed out. I had to take I had to find sugar to take to be able to, stand and reach home to take proper sugar. Real life story. Oh, we did effort. At the end of the day, we abandoned the vehicle there. It slept there overnight. Thank God it was a secure facility. Until we brought in the services of experts. Who? People, you understand? So, I can actually, this is a social media world. I can actually rant and say that, man, I put in so much effort to get access to the car, which I did. But it wasn't my effort that solved the situation.
Okay, because we're pressed for time. Let Padre just wrap things up. Padre, do you think that this is, and I'm sorry I'm bringing you back again, because that analogy was actually very revealing, talking about effort. No one can deny effort. Now, this looks like a case where the federal government has made efforts. But then, just like you mentioned, like Essigon mentioned, until experts came in before they were able to do anything. Now, just bringing it back to that topic of this advisory that was given, don't you think that the advisory given was more like experts trying to render help and, the government refusing that?
No. That advisory came from intelligence work. recently, and thankfully you are bringing this up, and I'm going to ask that question. It was a kind of thought along question. Maybe I will now voice it out. Recently I was just thinking, and it started from this advisory of a thing. We all know that there are some countries in the world that have intelligence officers in all, if not all, the countries in the world, such that they protect the interests of their country. In those countries, if there is any need for them to send across messages, intelligence reports that we aid their own country in making some decisions, they do. In other words, you call them spies. Recently, I was just asking, do Nigeria have spies in other countries? I was just wondering, except for the ones that we see, they drive Range Rover with with spy number.
Padre, you are watching film.
You know,
if film is troubling you, Stop, reduce your film watching.
I agree, Esigon. Uh-huh. I agree. You know, I was recently do we even have? Because sometimes some of the information we get, if for instance some of our citizens were going to in other countries, we got them on social media the way the government got them some of these things on social media. Mm. We know how Abike Dabiri has been responding to some of these things. Mm. It's through the social media. And that is why, even within our own space, what is the level of our own intelligence? That is why we can't get ahead of events, of incidents. We have always been in a reactionary mode. We wait until it happens before we do something. And at least for once, somebody somewhere is giving you an opportunity to be ahead of a situation. You are not appreciating it. You are taking it to be personal. You are saying, no, it's all rubbish and nonsense and blah, 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 and what have you. You see, this intelligence is very important. Hmm. It's not just in security work alone. Hmm. In everything that you do. Like this man that is talking now. For me, I don't even think it should be a point of discussion, to be honest. Because the question I would have asked him is, what are the things, what are your premises, what are your proofs to say, to, because you are making an emphatic statement.
Hmm.
You are so damn sure, if I have to put it that way.
Hmm.
So what are the things that give you this conclusion for you to make this emphatic statement?
Yes.
Because for a reasonable government, maybe we can give them that excuse, Esigon. Maybe that is why they wanted to have this census. Because for a reasonable government, if you have to score yourself, there is something they call research. Research does not only happen when you are doing PhD or you are doing masters.
Every day now.
Research is in every aspect of our lives. Research is in every aspect. And it is the only way you can have reliable data. So the question is, if you are saying, okay, we have done this, we have done that, let us bring you and let us ask you these simple questions. Between 2015 and now, how many people have gained employment?
Mm.
One. Dot. Between 2015 and now, how many people has their standard of living risen? Improved.
Improved.
Two. Mm. Between 2015 and now, how many persons, professionals, have left your country to other place? Three.
Mm.
Between 2015 and now, how many investors have come in? How many investors have gone? Four. Between 2015 and now, how many lives have you lost to insecurity compared to the past 8 years? Five. Between 2015 and now, how many health facility have you improved upon? Six. Between 2015 and now, how many times has the president gone out for treatment outside the country compared to last 8 years? How many presidents have gone out for treatment? How many times have you had past president going out for treatment and now this president one going out for treatment? That is how you score yourself. That is how you determine whether you have done well or not. You just don't sit down in your office because you say you want to take 100 million Nigerians out of poverty and because you provide 3 months job through Empower, and after 3 months you take the job away from them and you say let another set of people come and chop. If you give somebody work for 6 months and after 6 months you say let another set come in, can you say you have provided employment for that person?
All right.
It's just about the question of intelligence.
Okay, thank you very much. And that's all we can take on Trending Issues for today. Hope you have enjoyed this very segment. News on the Globe is up next. So stay tuned.